Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Now, it's Jessica Benson from the Grizzlies Radio Network and Rise and Grind host on 92.9 FM ESPN's Jason and John Show.
So we were just talking about this, Jessica. Obviously, the Grizzlies were supposed to be on ESPN. They're supposed to be on national television tomorrow, which, you know, look, we love Brevin and Pete, but we also love that shine that comes with being on national television. And it just got taken away from us. It got taken away from us through no fault of our own because the Spurs suck. And we were just talking about it. You know, you turn on ESPN Radio and the national, like, Ja is a topic of conversation, it seems like, on that network all the time. Yet they take the game off. Does that make any sense to you?
No, it doesn't. And you can try to justify it in that the Heat are the number one team in the East, but the Knicks just lost another game. Granted, they are the big old New York City market, so that's always going to factor in. But it just robs the nation of getting to see Ja Morant and this Memphis Grizzlies team, and I get it. It's not the sexiest of matchups going up against the Spurs for a nationally televised game, but every single time Ja Morant steps on the court, he does something that makes you ooh and ah, makes it worthy of eyeballs being on it on a greater scale. So, yeah, it's awesome. I mean, the Bally Sports Southeast crew is the best in the game, and they'll do a tremendous job as always, but it just does feel a little bit unfair. It's unfair for everyone else. We, the Memphis market, collectively want everyone else to be able to join in on the fun, too.
If they beat the Spurs tomorrow, that would make them 2-2 on this road trip. If I told you that before the road trip, Jessica, you're taking that all day long, right?
I absolutely would have taken it, especially given the fact that you haven't had these guys be able to get out of health and safety protocols, and losing Desmond Bane, not having Tyus Jones as that backup point guard presence off the bench, not having Kyle Anderson. You throw in Dylan Brooks into the mix in the last one, you throw Brandon Clark in there, and you hope that at least possibly Brandon Clark is able to go tomorrow night. You hope that these guys start getting back, because tomorrow will mark that 7-day mark, and you just never know when someone will be able to become back available after going through health and safety protocols. I know Kyle Anderson is out looking at birds. He said he saw a beautiful blue heron yesterday on Twitter, and I'm like, man, get this man out of health and safety protocols. But you'll take it. A 2-2 road trip, considering the circumstances, would still put the Grizzlies in a pretty good place coming back home.
I was talking to a writer from ESPN who's doing a piece on Ja, and just not that he's awesome at basketball. I don't think anybody at this point questions that, but that in Memphis, like, it means more. His stardom means more. He asked me, and I'll just kind of ask you, why do you think Ja's stardom in Memphis matters more?
I think a part of it is just that you've never had a player of his caliber within this city, and I mean that in a sense of not just what he can do on the court, but how he's collectively gathering all of these bonus points that lead to quote-unquote superstardom, which is the fact that he is a walking highlight each and every night, the fact that he's on Twitter, he's constantly involved in the conversation, his presence fits so well in the city of Memphis. We've talked about it since he was drafted, an underlooked guy, goes to Murray State, under-recruited, always the knock against him, kind of sitting as that chip on his shoulder, and that's what Memphis represents. So it's just like this whole Kismet situation where he feels like the perfect player to match up within the city, and then there's the novelty of it and getting to witness it in real time and be a part of the journey alongside with him. I think that just takes it to that next level here in Memphis and makes it what it is.
Any part of you feel sorry for what Utah is going through right now? They've lost 8 of 10, 9 of their last 13. I mean, we know injuries and being short guys too, but no Mitchell last night, I think, Gobert, left calf strain. I'll frame it this way. Are they still a threat? I mean, they've lost eight of 10, I think, here. Is this a Memphis team that's now graduated, moved on from Utah, or would you still say Utah, when healthy, a title contender?
Utah, when healthy, is in there, but I think it just further puts the spotlight on what the Grizzlies have managed to do in spite of being shorthanded, in spite of having various guys either injured or in health and safety protocols. You look at a Jazz team that they really struggled without Rudy Gobert, and then not having Mitchell in there certainly takes things to that next level. So it really just puts the stamp on how deep Memphis is, how capable they are to continue weathering various storms of a season, whereas with the Jazz, it makes them an entirely different team. That could have happened with the Grizzlies, but it didn't, and that's what's so remarkable about this season so far.
We were having this discussion yesterday, and it may not, you know, we'll see, it may not even come to pass. There's just so much time left of this season, but if there's a playoff series and it's down to two teams that the Grizzlies would play, would you rather play the Mavs or the, we presume, healthy Lakers in a seven-game series? Who would you rather play?
Oh, that's tough. I will say I don't think that we've had a fair, true indication on what a Grizzlies-Mavs series would actually look like, considering the different injuries on both teams. I know the Mavericks take the regular season series 3-1, but not having Dylan Brooks out there when it comes to having someone to defend Luka is massive, and we saw that the other night in Dallas. At this point, I would take the Lakers, and I might absolutely crucify myself for saying that down the stretch if they start to figure it out, but we keep saying when they figure it out, what's the cutoff time? And they hope to get Anthony Davis back out there tonight against the Nets, but you get Anthony Davis back out there, I don't think he's the miracle cure for what ails this team. And then he has to stay out there and stay healthy, and you have to get a functioning Russell Westbrook, and you have to continue to keep that highlight focus on LeBron James, and he can drag a team out of just about anything. And I think that's why we were all so confident in this Lakers team in spite of the age and some of the questions on could this roster really work, and we kept saying, well, I'm never going to bet against LeBron James, and I'm still not-ish, but I'm less scared of the Lakers than I am the Mavericks right now.
Can the Suns do this once this year? Obviously, they've looked like the best team here in the NBA lately, and might very well be. But I wanted this, Jessica, because we're talking about their window. Will they still be at the top once Chris Paul steps down, whenever that is, whether it's a year from now, 2 years from now? Can they stay there in terms of what they've learned, or will they need another guy like that? And you can't match what Chris Paul does, but a solid all-star level, maybe a level down point guard to maintain that level. What do you think happens to the Suns after Chris Paul?
Well, you're going to have somewhat of that veteran presence, and no matter what kind of lessons he's imparted on this team, you want a steadying hand. Yes, the evolution of Devin Booker plays a huge part. They have to figure out what they're doing with DeAndre Ayton. Mm-hmm. That's the biggest key for the Suns down the stretch. So I think no matter what, taking someone like a Chris Paul out of the equation is a hit, and I think that you would have to add something there. But if you can make Devin Booker and DeAndre Ayton the two-man focus of this team, then perhaps they're able to stay in that upper echelon of the West as long as those two are producing in the way that they are.
We are, of course, talking to Jessica Benson. Catch her on Rise and Grind, Grizz Radio Network, right here on 90.10 FM, ESPN. Join us every single Tuesday. You think Tom Brady's going to actually retire? Or I mean, I see those comments, I hear them, and I'm wondering, like, what's the ulterior motive here? Like, he can't possibly be just saying this and meaning it. But do you think maybe that was the last time we saw Tom Brady?
When you start throwing the wife and the kids argument within it, it makes sense. And the one thing, we had Brevin Knight on Rise and Grind this morning, and he was talking from a former athlete standpoint. The thing is Tom Brady has to legitimately be willing to give it up and be done with that portion of his life, because when you're a competitor, especially when you're at the ranks of a Tom Brady, like, football's inside you, and you have to know that you're going to be maybe not happy, but at least content in living that next chapter of your life, because that affects your family too. You don't want to be resentful for giving it up a little too soon. That said, I've never felt like we were as close as we are right now to Tom Brady actually hanging it up. And I had the strangest realization this morning listening to the ESPN morning radio show. I was like, oh my God, like, I'm going to miss Tom Brady. And I never thought that I would think that, because we're like, oh my God, this is getting so old. All he does is win over and over. But I will legitimately miss having the figure of Tom Brady in the NFL, even though, you know, the future is bright and we have incredible quarterbacks to kind of take that baton and go the rest of the way. But Tom Brady has just been such a part of my entire NFL lifespan at this point. So to think of him actually
that's more of a, you know what I'm saying, look in the mirror moment. We're aging. That's more than you missing Tom Brady.
I do turn 30 next week. Thank you for the reminder.
Wow. Yeah. 30 years old, getting married. This is a big year for JB.
Oh, it's a big year.
if I told you, Jessica, that one of these underdogs this weekend is going to win, whether that's Cincy or the Niners. Now, we know the Niners have had great success against the Rams. Frankly, they've owned them, the last six times. Which of those two underdogs would you take? Because I will say, 49ers, we know, come banged up in this one. Garoppolo hasn't played very well. They have, for whatever reason, owned the Rams. If I said one of those two underdogs was going to win, which one would you roll with?
I think my fiancé will murder me for saying this. I'll roll with the Bengals just because I think Joe Burrow he's just doing his own thing right now. And he's that dude for this team. I mean, between him and the connection that he has with Ja'Marr Chase, I wouldn't count them out in any game. That said, we just saw what the Chiefs can do and what Patrick Mahomes can do with 13 seconds, and I'd hate to see what he can do in 8 seconds, and that's always going to be the situation. There is nothing more stressful, though, than being the partner of someone who is a diehard 49ers fan and watching Jimmy Garoppolo run an offense. Like, it is just constant anxiety-inducing pain, and the fact that I'm about to have to do it for another weekend and the Grizzlies don't play on Sunday, so I don't even have an outlet, it's going to be tough, and I think this is finally the situation where the Niners, their defense is so good. But this Rams team, I didn't expect them to be able to go and play that hometown Super Bowl card and Matthew Stafford to not throw 3 pick-sixes. But I do think that they might finally make it through the weekend. And I just got a text from Chris that said, WTF, Jess, the Bengals, come on.
Yes.
So there you go.
You remember that show? It used to come on VH1. It was called Best Week Ever or something like that. Wasn't that it?
Yeah, on E or something.
Yeah. My wife watches that all the time.
Is it still on?
Yeah, every night.
It's still on?
Yeah.
Every night?
Okay. Yeah, my wife DVRs it.
Woo.
Yeah.
Well, what's the opposite of the Best Week Ever? And is Aaron Rodgers having it?
Aaron Rodgers has had the opposite of the best year ever. I feel like I have never witnessed someone in real time have the entirety of their narrative change so drastically. And it's one of those situations where he always had such a mystery about it.
Right.
Stuff with his family and whatnot.
Yes.
But when he was a mystery, you could fill in the holes. You could fill in the blanks and make him whatever you wanted to be. And he was so successful.
Again, I didn't judge him for that.
Field.
The whole family thing.
I didn't either.
That. I'm like, yo, dude, teach me your ways.
And when you're the one member of the Rodgers family not appearing on The Bachelor,
right.
I was like,
oh, yeah.
Man, maybe he's the one who has something correct here. But then in the tumbling forward of everything from, oh, my God, the drama with the Packers going into the season, was he going to hold out? Was he going to come back? His laundry list of demands. And then, obviously, everything that transpired off the field the rest of the year. That 20 to 30 minutes after the Packers lost over the weekend on Twitter was just vicious. It was next level on that app. And that just showed how a lot of people feel about Aaron Rodgers at this point.
Yep. Hey, JB, appreciate your time every single
Thank
week.
Thank you so much.
We look forward to
Thank
celebrating
you
your birthday here. We appreciate it. Thank you.
I misspoke.
Absolutely.
It's called Nightly Pop. That's the show she DVRs.
Oh.
So they did kill it. 2014 was the last year for the
Best
Week Ever.
People stopped having good weeks in 2014. You know, it's just
again, that was the pre-pandemic. Yeah, that was it.
Thanks, so. Jessica.
Thank
appreciate
you,
JB.
See you guys.
Yep.
Bye.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's an interesting discussion because if you take legal matters out of it, right, athletes have committed crimes and we've changed our opinion of them, you know, but in terms of athletes who didn't commit crimes and we changed our opinion about them, rep, I mean, is it like Aaron and Lance Armstrong?
I really think Tannehill's having a worse week than Aaron.
You think so?
Aaron doesn't care, man. Especially this year.
Because he's the GOAT.
He's
exactly
like, man,
right.
I meant to lose that game.
Right, he threw the game.
Yes, man.
Y'all see,
Tannehill let his entire team down. One man.
Yeah.
3 picks.
Yeah.
Everything else going relatively well enough to win that game.
Right.
Your entire defense.
No, you're the reason
a 9
the Titans
sack
lost.
Effort
yes.
you wasted.
The 49ers beat the Packers because of special teams.
I mean, I would if I'm him, and you know Aaron only feels good. So Aaron can get in his own little bubble and be just fine.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? With Tannehill, he's got to to me, he had the worst week. And back to your point about things changing, for me, I thought Tannehill, serviceable, get it done, not going to lose games for you.
Right.
That changed
right
after what you saw this weekend.
But also with Aaron, though, it's off the field too, right? I mean, because he's kind of, you know, I mean, I think people have, you know, soured on him a little bit.
Oh, but what you call it still lets him control his own narrative. They still love
ESPN?
Him. No, the show he does.
McAfee.
Yes, McAfee.
Bro, if Aaron Rodgers
on control, now he's got a little cult following based off that.
If Aaron Rodgers wanted to come on with us weekly, you don't think we'd let him do whatever the hell he wanted to?
Sure, we would.
So I mean,
but he controls his own narrative. Well, this whole thing about
Aaron
folks
Rodgers,
hating on
you
him.
Do control your own narrative.
What, he had one dude that came out and said, "I'm not going to vote for him because he's a jerk." Like, you, all of a sudden, you think people are after Aaron Rodgers? They barely were. They're still going to the MVP award.
They were making jokes about him, right? Because he did that ESPN piece where he's like, he said, "I'm silenced," while he was being interviewed.
Folks should make jokes about him. They let that. You know, this is the king of the double standard. They let this dude have his own set of rules this year. Now you act like the whole world's coming down on him. Aaron doesn't care. He go back to hosting Jeopardy.
Yeah,
he got it all.
Well, I don't think he's going to get that gig. Who is it? LeVar Burton? Is he the guy?
That's who they need to give it to. Is it a full time thing? No, LeVar is who needs to have.
They ended up doing
Reading Rainbow,
two people, didn't they? They end up doing like two hosts.
It was a bunch of hosts. I thought. I don't know what the final word was that on that. I didn't think LeVar was getting it. But then they gave it to somebody who messed up and they had to pull out of there, right?
I don't know how to.
We'll come back with it in the rundown.
Mayim Bialik and Ken Jennings.
Yeah, she's the little former girl actress, which doesn't make any sense.
The
Blossom.
What?
Blossom, fool.
Not familiar.
Isn't that right, Brad? Brad knows what I'm talking about.
Blossom.
That's Blossom.
I like LeVar Burton better.
Didn't Blossom? Yes, all day.
That's a good choice.
LeVar getting a shaft here.
Are they the...
They let Blossom host it.
Are they the permanent host?
I think so, bro.
Where did they get Blossom from?
She's in another show, but I still call her Blossom because that's how I know her. She's in the show as an adult.
What's her name? Maison Bleelic or... It's like some... It's some interesting
Blossom,
name.
Man.
Blossom.
Easier. That's what she was.
That's a much easier...
No, they're not permanent. They're just doing it through the season, through July, and then I guess they'll figure it out.
Need to come on back around to LeVar.
LeVar Burton's good at Reading Rainbow, dude.
Man, he taught us growing up so much.
Yes.
Put him back on there. He's a man full of knowledge.
Super celebrity. Sleepy, because so many of us grew up with him. He's a famous dude.
And he's crossover, to your point. Like, everybody loves him,
Why not the Malcolm Jamal Warner?
Yeah, Malcolm Jamal Warner comes to mind. Yeah.
I'd be fine with Malcolm. Brad would be a little bit more giddy.
I'd be
than
a little
me.
Giddy about that.
What was that?
But LeVar Burton has earned it.
What was the book, 23andMe?
Malcolm had a...
How to Be 21 or How to Go Through Puberty with Malcolm Jamal Warner.
That's it.
Brad
that
loved
it.
It.
Yes. You know, that book changed my life.
Mm-hmm. Right.
As a 13-year-old going through the challenges that Jake is going through, I had Malcolm Jamal Warner.
Balls dropping. I'm surprised you Malcolm.
Have it to pass down to your son, the book.
He won't know the love.
This important read for Malcolm Jamal.
I'm telling you, at that time, like Malcolm Jamal Warner, you watch Cosby Show.
Oh, he
like,
was huge.
You're
he
like,
man.
Oh, my God. Huge. You'd be like, no, Malcolm Jamal Warner is going to kill himself because he doesn't like his life. And I'm like telling my mom and dad, I'm like, yo, what are we going to do about this guy?
Who's the Malcolm Jamal Warner of today? Who's that guy?
Oh, good question. It would have to be a super.
You're just talking about Mr. Wholesome?
Like, you know, like a solid C-list sitcom, you know what I mean?
Malcolm was not C-list when he was on
no, he was A-list,
Cosby
bro.
Show. He was A-list.
Did he ever get a movie out of it?
I don't think so.
He was famous
at
the time.
But many shows, television he has owned throughout most of his life. He had a show with Eddie there for a while, Eddie Griffin. Now, I want to say he's on like on some doctor show or something.
He's a producer and a musician as well. I mean, he's doing background stuff.
Yeah, Malcolm does a lot. He's a renaissance man.
Yeah.
Renaissance man.
He was recently in EMT Jones. Shot was the last movie he did.
Okay. 2017.
Yeah.
That was a good one.
I don't remember that one. The Tuskegee Airmen? He was in that one.
Yes, he was good. He was good in that. So he's got some movies.
He's got a repertoire.
Here.
If you look at his resume, I mean, he's kept working.
Fishburne, those guys were in Tuskegee.
Yeah,
that's a good. That was a good movie.
That was a good flick.
95. You know, got to go back a few. The last time Memphis made a tournament, got to have the.
It wasn't that long.
Tuskegee Airmen was in theaters.
It was not that. It was
he's
not
made
that
TV episodes as late as 2018 to present in The Resident as a doctor, a reoccurring
role. That's what I just said. I swear.
Yeah,
he's on. I think that show's still running. He's the greatest actor I've ever lived.
People watch that show.
Bro, think Leonardo DiCaprio, fool, when you're looking for that other guy.
I think when you look at the filmography, you would compare him to. It's definitely, it holds. I mean, it's close. You know, you
man, that scene where he got his ear pierced and
Bill's
trying to see that thing and they're leaning back on the bed.
Yeah.
Look at Brad. He remembers it like it was yesterday.
It could have been yesterday.
Oh, man, just some great scenes there. I know you get uncomfortable talking about Bill. Now, you love talking about O.J. Simpson. You get uncomfortable talking about Bill Cosby for whatever backwards-ass reason.
Bill Cosby's in prison.
Now, didn't he get out, fool, on the technicality?
He's out, bruh.
He's out.
Well,
you need an update.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.